Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Yesterday's announcement that the state has authorized an additional 4% cut to state expenditures will hurt all state agencies, but especially school districts across the state, as their current year is nearly three-quarters complete. This cut comes at a time of extreme uncertainty for public school leadership about the shape of next year's appropriation, given the state's $1.3 billion shortfall. Today we hear from three Tulsa County superintendents comprising three very different school districts. A little later we'll hear from Collinsville Superintendent Lance West and Broken Arrow Superintendent Jared Mendenhall. But first we'll hear from the superintendent that has most clearly laid out the bad choices her district will face next year if the worst-case budget cuts materialize. Tulsa Superintendent Deborah Gist laid out possible cuts in central office administration, shorter school weeks, program reductions of athletics and fine arts, increased class size, transportation cuts, or campus security cuts, all as possibilities in an email to employees earlier this week. She begins our round-robin look at how these cuts will likely affect Oklahoma schools. Superintendent Gist, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, your YouTube video and your email to your employees of Tulsa Public Schools sort of set out the agenda for what a lot of school districts across this state are going to be looking at next year and really this year, too, with additional cuts coming in state expenditures. You really laid out just sort of the bad choices the school district faces. What's been the reaction to that video?
Well, you know, the people of Tulsa have been incredibly supportive, and our teachers have been as well. And I think that's because they recognize that we're all in this together. This is a terrible situation for us, and that we are dealing with the decisions that have been made by leaders in our state who, granted, have a huge problem on their hands right now with the statewide deficit that they're having to manage. But unfortunately, you know, we've gotten to this point because of the decisions that have been made in past years about cutting education budgets even when the economy was strong. And so consequently, when we have a real need like this, we are, given that we've already made such dramatic reductions to education, we are now to the point where anything we do is going to affect families and students directly.
The cuts that came down today, the additional 4%, how will that affect Tulsa Public Schools through the remainder of the school year?
Well, we don't know yet. We have been working today to understand from the state exactly how they're going to take those cuts, because when they take them, they don't always take them across the board, and there are different funding sources and different things like that all have to be factored in, and how that ends up happening affects the decisions that we make and what we can cut and what we can't and so forth. And so we've been getting underneath that and trying to understand that, and we'll continue to do that over the next few days to figure out how we're going to manage it. But, you know, this means our budgets are being reduced by about 7% for this year, and that's before we take whatever cuts are coming for next year. This is really a terrible situation, and I really hope that people recognize how hard this is going to be over the next few weeks and months to manage.
And it's a 7%
for us as a community, you know.
Right. And it's a 7% cut coming two-thirds through most
right.
of the school year,
exactly.
Where you've already spent two-thirds of the money you were planning to spend during the school year.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that you have to, when they say a percentage, they don't mean the percentage for the rest of the year. They mean we're going to look at whatever your budget was for the whole year, take an additional 4%, and then ask you to make those cuts in the money that you have left after you've already managed your school district for most of the year. It is a really difficult problem to have.
You've been out front on the sort of cuts that you're preparing for next year. I think you said anywhere between $7 million and $20 million in cuts. What sort of percentage is that of the total school budget?
The $20 million number comes from the 15.9%. That is what the state has indicated they will need to cut from state budgets in total. And so depending on how they decide to, you know, proportion those across different state services and state agencies and so forth, if they decided to do that, you know, equally, then that would be the $20 million.
And how big a percentage of the overall Tulsa Public School budget is that?
Well, I mean, that's 15.9% of our state funding.
Right.
And
okay.
So we have a $500 million budget. A large portion of that comes from the federal government, and we also have, we include our private funding in that. We include, you know, other kind of grants and different things like that. And so it is a 15% cut from our state budget. And not only do, you know, when you look at like our federal funds and things like that, there are very specific commitments that are required to what you're doing with those different funding sources. So in other words, the only place that you can make reductions are from your state money. And then in, when it comes to your state money, the state has also given us very clear mandates and expectations about things that we have to do. And so when it gets down to what your options are, they start to become very, very limited.
Well, what have been your priorities of preserving funding within the district as you look ahead to next year?
Well, our overall priority is just to do everything we can to try to protect our teachers and students from these cuts. That looks to be, you know, depending on what happens next year, extremely difficult, if not impossible, depending on which end of the range of the possible cuts we'll see for next year, how that all comes about. And so what I shared with our teachers a couple of weeks ago was, you know, let's look at all of the kinds of things that we have in our budget and think about how much those things cost, and then imagine how we would together find $20 million. And what you start to see when you look at that list is that very quickly you see that you can do any combination of those really terrible choices and still not get to the kind of cuts that we're considering. And so it is, no matter what happens, this is going to be extraordinarily difficult for everyone in the Tulsa community to handle. And we're going to have to stick together, make the best possible decisions we can, and make our voices loud and clear for the fact that Oklahoma cannot be last in the country when it comes to how we invest in our children. If we do that, we will never have the kind of healthy economy, high quality of life, strong, vibrant communities that we all need and want.
Now, the six areas you outlined range from central office reduction, which probably if you ask the average person off the street, they would say, yes, cut the administration. It doesn't save a whole lot of money. A 15% cut only saves about $2 million. And what would the effect of that drastic a cut on the central office be?
Well, it would mean that the services that we provide to schools would have to be eliminated or changed. You know, I would say that there's definitely a sense, you know, in the community that there must be some, you know, kind of bureaucrats sitting around not doing anything that we can just get rid of. And that's just not the case. I see every day in this office and around the district some incredibly hardworking people. And so when you talk about making those reductions, you know, the work that goes on in the central office is important. It's payroll. It is, you know, people who manage health insurance for employees. It's the people who cut the grass. It's the people who clean our schools. It's the people who maintain our buildings. It's the folks who cook the meals and serve food to children and develop curriculum and support the quality of instruction in schools. And, you know, all of this is work that matters. And so there's no way for us to handle any of these reductions that will not mean that we are doing less well. Everything that we do at this point is going to be hard.
Increased class size is something a lot of school districts are looking at. Where is TPS as far as class sizes already?
It depends on the grade level and the subject, but our class sizes are definitely too large. We have, in the past round of cuts, which happened in the 2010-2011 school year, I believe it was, class sizes were raised, and I think it was something like one or two kids per class in the primary grades and then two or three in the upper grades or something like that. And the way that they did that during that last round of cuts, it was a total reduction of $7 million, which is a lot, but not if you're being asked to cut $20 million. Then, you know, we will definitely be looking at central office services, and we will definitely be looking at other alternatives. But it's just, it's going to be really hard to get there without considering class size. But what really frustrates me is that, you know, too many of these decisions get made in ways that directly affect our teachers. and their ability to serve our children well. And class size is a great example of that. Our teachers have carried the burden of the cuts in this state for so many years, and it is completely inappropriate. The way that we fail to serve our students by supporting their teachers effectively is unacceptable. And that's why we lose folks, and it's why they're struggling, and it has to be changed.
Now, you do mention teacher retention in the form of program reductions, and you mentioned athletics and fine arts that would save a significant amount of money. What is your philosophy on letting teachers know they'll have a job next year, on retention, on, you know, your first and second year teachers, whether they're going to come back or not?
Well, we're going to have to spend the next few weeks understanding as best we can from the state what we think is going to happen. And then based on that, we will just choose our best guess at what the number will be and build our plan for next year around that, knowing that once our state leaders complete the budget process in May, that we'll have to make some adjustments after that. So, you know, it should be sometime in the next 6 weeks or so that we will be able to be much more specific with people about what we're planning to do for next year, although that will be subject to change until the state finalizes the budget.
Now, some school districts are dipping heavily into reserves. What is the state of Tulsa Public School reserves at this particular point?
We do have reserves. We have our reserves are around 8%. We have to maintain at least a 5% reserves because if we don't, it affects our ability to bond successfully, and that affects other commitments that Tulsans have made to our schools through bond funding through, you know, for facilities and materials. And so we have to maintain that. And so that gives us a little bit of wiggle room, but not much. And we have to be really careful about the way that we use those funds because this is possibly, if not likely, a multi-year situation.
Well, Superintendent Guest, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate you talking about it. It's important for everyone to know what's happening.
Dr. Deborah Guest is the superintendent of Tulsa Public Schools as we hear from three Tulsa County school administrators about the effect of state budget cuts. From an urban district, we turn to a large suburban district. Next, we hear from Jared Mendenhall, the superintendent of Broken Arrow Public Schools. Dr. Mendenhall, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
As we speak, the state has ordered an additional 4% cut to state expenditures, and that does include public schools. That's 7% rescission during this year, and it comes when only a couple of months left in the school calendar. How is that likely to affect Broken Arrow Public Schools?
Our projections at this point, it's going to be another $1.8 million to Broken Arrow Public Schools. We've already been cut $1,050,000. So when you look at that cut and you say, okay, it's about almost $3 million, you're sitting there thinking, okay, what are we going to do at this point? And the only thing we have left is really going into our fund balance that we've had for the last few years.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be drawing on reserves.
Going to draw on some reserves. The other thing that will happen is we'll have, of course, staff, both certified teachers and support that will have, you know, resignations, retirements, those kinds of things. So we'll look at those, you know, kind of through attrition, probably not rehire some of those positions to try to regain some of that money. I've really tried hard to engage our staff in what their recommendations might be. You know, that's been a positive thing. We're getting ready to send out a survey to, you know, probably find any other solutions that we haven't thought of at this point. So we're really working hard to try to make sure that we don't cut programs. That's my biggest concern is we've added so many great instructional programs and student programs and trying to keep from cutting those. But
give us a sense of what some of those programs are.
For instance, at our elementary level, we've just the last 3 years started implementing in our rotation. We've always had the art, music, and physical education, and now we've added what is called STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And so we've hired teachers and staff and actually equipment. And so the kids actually rotate through there. So you know, it costs quite a bit of money to do those things, close to $1 million, to make sure that we maintain those kinds of systems or those programs. You know, so we're looking at things like that. We're looking at another program that, you know, was ROTC. We just started ROTC at our high school. We have more kids involved in that than we've ever had. So, you know, it's programs that really have been positive and really good for our engagement of our kids.
Well, what sort of cuts are you preparing for next year? Because this is really when the rubber meets the road with the $1.3 billion shortfall at the state level. You've sort of mentioned your priorities is holding on to these new programs. How do you make up the inevitable cuts that are going to be coming to your school district?
Well, the first thing that we've started doing is really preparing for next year and what our class sizes and those things might look like. So we've looked at, you know, even though we're a growing school district, do we actually hire teachers for that, you know, growing 300 or 400 students that we're going to receive? The answer to that right now is we probably won't add additional teachers for that growth, which means our class sizes will have to go up. So that's one of the things that we've looked at. We're also looking at everything from transportation costs to anything else that, you know, even the activities that we do, busing for activities and field trips, all of those kinds of things are kind of on the table and looking at maybe doing really the bare minimum for next year just because of these cuts.
Well, when you talk about like field trips, I mean, does that take an enormous amount of money or are we talking about saving pennies to save dollars?
No question. I mean, I think what I've really challenged everybody to do is really try to do all that you can. It doesn't matter if it's not very much money. It all counts. And so we've really tried to encourage all of our folks to look at different things, even, you know, things like energy savings and closing down. You know, if you're not in your classroom, turn your lights off. If you're not, you know, if you're going down the hallway and you're not on your computer, make sure your computer's turned off. I know those are considered easy or soft costs, but a lot of those things can really add up over time. The bigger things are, you know, will we ever go to a four-day week? I don't know. I don't know if that's something that, you know, is really the very best for kids. The other conversations have been, do we want to go to after-school athletics and after-school fine arts? Is that something that would save us a significant amount? It will save us money, but it's all kind of choices. And, you know, the thing that frustrates me the most is that we've got to make those choices.
You mentioned class sizes. So what does Broken Arrow class sizes look like now, and what sort of class sizes, if the worst cuts come through, what would you expect your class teacher-student ratio to go to?
We've really prided ourselves on class size for many, many years. We've done a very good job. At the lower levels, we're under 25, so we're talking the primary grades, we're under 25. Middle school, we're at 27 to 28, and at the high school, we're about 27 to 28. So what we're looking at next year, we're looking at class sizes at 30 or over, because if you're really going to have the cuts that we say that, you know, is going to continue to happen, we're talking 35 to 40 teachers next year that we will not have in the classroom that we've had this year. And plus, if you think about adding 300 more students across the district, that's going to make a significant change in what kind of service or level of service that we provide in Broken Arrow. You know, 90% of most budgets go to the general fund, goes to salary. So it really comes down to, you can cut all of these other things, maybe even programs, but really your bigger dollar is going to be cutting staffing and reducing the staff numbers that you've had in the past. So I think that's where you're going to get your big dollars.
So that gets to the next question, hiring and retention. Are you looking at layoffs at this point?
You know, we're not going to go through a reduction in force or what you would call a layoff. Let me kind of explain to you. What we have is a teacher in Oklahoma, the first and second year of their contract are placed on what are called temporary contracts. So really, those temporary contracts, we're able to really release them at the end of the year. Out of 1,250 teachers that we have in Broken Arrow, we have about 200 that are on temporary contracts. And so what we will do is I tell them that their job for the following year is not guaranteed, and we will give them letters. And then what will happen at that point is we will begin to hire back those critical positions. And so really that's our answer at this point, is to have those conversations, those courageous, difficult conversations that are going to have to happen in April, and then begin the process and look at what our budget looks like for next year.
Let me ask you, of those 200 letters that are going out, how many of those teachers do you think you'll be able to hire back, or would you expect a lot of those teachers to move to another state that is not going through a budget meltdown and take a job there?
That's a big question. I mean, you know, if I were in that position, of course, I was a teacher years ago, and this is my 25th year. I've never been through a process at this level. So it won't surprise me if we have quite a few, especially if they're the ability to be mobile and move to another state or another location. So it won't surprise me a bit for some of those that get nervous and say, hey, you know, I can guarantee I can get a job somewhere else. They're not in the economic downturn that Oklahoma is. I can find a job elsewhere, which becomes really a problem for us because we're not getting the best teachers back in that classroom, or we wouldn't have hired them in the first place. So that's a tough situation for all of us.
Jared Mendenhall is the superintendent of Broken Arrow Public Schools. From a large suburban district, we now turn to the problems facing what used to be a small town rural district that is increasingly becoming suburbanized. Lance West is the superintendent of the rapidly growing Collinsville Public Schools. Lance West, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How are the state budget cuts likely to affect a district like Collinsville, which has sort of been a growing outer suburban district over the last decade or so?
The thing about it, we're still pretty reliant on state aid. You know, right now we're right around 58% state aid and state taxes. So because of that, our reliance on state aid, any kind of budget cuts really affect us. Now, we are a growing district. We're growing in the number of student population, but yet our tax base, while it is growing, it's not growing at a gigantic rate like you see with somebody that has a gigantic industrial or commercial component to it. We have some, but we don't have nearly as much as some districts are, 5A districts our size. So because of that, you know, our budget, it was pretty small to begin with, and with any kind of state reduction in aid, it just makes it that much tougher.
As you plan for the next school year, what sort of cuts are you expecting?
Well, right now we're looking, you know, hopefully through attrition that we're able to make. Because, you know, whether anybody wants to admit it or not, with school finance, you know, the personnel cost is your biggest cost. We've already cut down every area. And in the last 3 years, we've cut close to $800,000 just in personnel, $900,000 just in personnel costs. That was administrative support and even certified to a degree. Our goal is to protect the classroom as best we can and to prioritize our spending around that. But to think that we're going to make any kind of gigantic cut without involving personnel cuts would be naive. We're going to have to. Right now, we're looking at, from what we're being told, maybe right around $200 per weighted ADM or per weighted student. Well, for us, that's about an almost $800,000 cut. You know, last year we spent $15.5 million. Well, now you're telling us $800,000 less than that. That's going to be tough.
Probably 4 or 5%?
Yeah, at least. And then, you know, it could even be worse than that. Mm-hmm. And now that's just from state aid, though. Our ad valorem, you know, our property taxes have actually increased. So that, and thank God for that. We're still building homes out here, and then that helps a lot. But as far as the state aid part of it, we're going to take a significant hit. There's no doubt about it. And like I said, that to answer your original question, we're looking at attrition first and foremost, people retiring, resignations, non-renewals, you know, and hopefully we'll have enough of those that we won't get into a point where we have to let anybody go.
With attrition, you're not talking about replacing any of those positions then?
No, right now, at this time, we're not. And mm-hmm. And that, so to say it's not going to affect the classroom would not be honest either, because it will. I mean, you know, we've done a really good job. We're pretty proud of the fact, you know, save for a few instances, we've done, we think, a pretty good job of keeping the numbers low in the classrooms. But at this point in time, hopefully relying on attrition to get there, we also know in the back of our mind our classroom sizes are, I don't know how they can't be affected.
And when you say they've been a good size, what would you consider a good size for a school district like Collinsville?
You know, and it kind of varies between each building, but like
sure.
at our lower elementaries, we'd like to keep them around 20 to no more than 25, where we're already there in some of our classes, you know, at I believe it's a second grade level. As you get with the older child, you can add a little bit more. We understand that, but we've always tried to shoot, you know, the 25 or less pre-K through, oh, I'd say, you know, fifth grade. Once they get to middle school and high school, we'd like to keep it around 27, 28. Whereas, you know, I know several area districts that are easily in the 30s and have been for a while. So we feel like we've done a pretty good job of that. I just, you know, the times are changing, and I'm afraid our normal is going to have to change. We're going to be pushing 30. There's no doubt about it in some of our secondary.
Are you having to look at class offerings,
yeah,
extracurricular activities? What is your contingency plans?
You bet. And that's, you know, to me, it's almost like a ripples in a pond when you throw a rock in it. We're looking at the first, you know, level as much as we can and trying to do that. After that, you see, when you start talking about cutting activities, services, programs, you know, stuff that you never thought you'd discuss or talk about, but to say that it's off the table, that wouldn't be accurate. We're looking at first and foremost trying to maybe even reduce the amount of money we use in those activities, programs, you know, before we just come in and cut it off. You know, people have talked about transportation. For us, we're still, even though we're a suburban school, you know, 1,600 of our 2,700 students ride a bus. And so, well, that's tough for us to just say we're going to come in and cut transportation. I just don't see that being realistic. You know, any other services.
Does Collinsville have a large district footprint?
Yeah, we really do for the size of it, and it's kind of an oddly shaped footprint. But, yes, we go into Rogers County, a little bit into Washington County, and, of course, our majority of it's in Tulsa County.
And also with it being a increasingly suburban district from all the houses building it from,
sure,
the Owosso area, I would assume that there's probably some pressure to add different classes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, more specialized classes.
You bet.
Has that been have you been able to do that, and do you think you'll continue to be able to do that with these cuts?
Well, we haven't been, you know, like I said, we've been in kind of a cutback mode for a couple of years now. Not as drastic as what's coming, but we have. But we've been able to add over the last few years a few things here and there that we've really wanted to see accomplished. What's the scary thing about this with the attrition, you know, hopefully, you know, kind of fueling our cuts, we know that we're not going to be able to offer as much. There's just no way. It's just crazy how all this is. It's just kind of coming to a head.
Well, what are you telling your constituents and your school board today about how to prepare for this coming year?
Well, we're just being as realistic and honest as we can, you know. And here's the thing. We're going off basically projected or predicted numbers. You know, nobody can tell us exactly how much. We know there's going to be close to the $1.3 billion budget hole for the legislators to make up. But we don't know that it's going to stay there. And we don't know what, you know, they're going to be able to do to fill in some of that hole. And are they going to try to leave public education held harmless as far as budget cuts? I don't know that they can this time around. And so what we're doing is basically laying out kind of the worst-case scenario and best-case scenario and trying to come up with, for lack of a better term, a menu of possible cuts and prioritize those to fit with what we're talking about, you know, hopefully protecting the classroom.
Well, we wish you luck with the process. Lance West, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Lance West is the superintendent of Collinsville Public Schools and concludes our round robin of three Tulsa County school administrators discussing the impact of state budget cuts to their school districts. Well, at Studio Tulsa for today, our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.